You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
This is the Roto Experts alongside Wall Street Matt Modica and the fantasy executive Corey Parson. I am Greg Sussman. Corey Parson, sir, how you doing?
Don't do that because okay. I just got in here. I'm doing well, Greg. Thank you very much. Oh, I got a good, what we got today? Wednesday, my bad.
Today's Wednesday, day off.
Be all right, though.
Yep.
Got a good Wednesday morning, you know what I'm saying? Seen some interesting things take place in the world of sports since we've last spoken. LeBron James got ejected for the first time in his NBA career last night. Mm-hmm. That was interesting. And for the first time since 1998, it will not be a Manning playing this Sunday in the NFL. And that right there is a disaster. And I'm sure we'll talk about that today.
We certainly will. We'll lead off the show with that. I put a video up on YouTube immediately following the announcement, and I was not pleased.
No, I don't blame you.
I was not pleased. Matt Modica, sir, how are you?
I'm doing well today. We're getting another day closer to Sunday, which is all I can really think about right now.
Sure. A lot on the line, certainly, coming up on Sunday for you. And for so many people that are trying to make their playoffs and trying to get in, trying to get closer to that fantasy championship, one person that won't help you get there is Eli Manning. Corey alluded to it. We put up a video previously, and it's obviously the biggest story in sports at the moment. That is Eli Manning has effectively been benched by the New York Giants for Geno Smith, and then ultimately for Davis Webb. And what happened was Giants went to him and said, hey, we'll start you every game the rest of the way. We're going to pull you at halftime. And he's like, wait a minute. So even if I'm winning the game, you're going to take me out at halftime. And he's like, they're like, yeah. And he's like, aren't we like, isn't the goal to try to win? Like, isn't that what we're here for? And he's like, they're like, yeah, but like, we also need to evaluate the other players. And he's like, well, listen, you want to evaluate them. That doesn't involve me. So they all decided that Eli Manning heads to the bench. Geno Smith starts this week. I'd be surprised if Davis Webb doesn't start next week. Of course, why not just let Eli Manning start this week and then Davis Webb start next week? But nevertheless, that is the decision Ben McAdoo and I'm sure Jerry Reese has made. There's no way Ben McAdoo, a coach that is five games away from being on the unemployment line, makes by himself. This is one that obviously Jerry Reese had to be involved in, obviously. John Mara had to be involved in, and it's a decision that is, I don't want to say short-sighted because it's not. It's not short-sighted. It's just a decision that was not thoroughly thought out because it's very, very clear how not just the fan base reacted. We're going to get into this after the break, but how Corey, the team and the legends of this team have reacted.
Yeah, you look at some of the things that's going on, and you talk about the teams and the legends of this team have reacted. We've seen the outpouring on social media and stuff like that when it comes to this move the New York Giants made yesterday. But I am the last human being to ever feel any kind of sympathy for Eli Manning. But I tell you what, that is no good what they did to him. I can't wait to tear a new one into the New York Giants today.
I'm going to let you give me that opportunity and take Matt's perspective on it when we come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
Up out of there.
Ain't nothing but against the party.
We're back here with you, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Roto Experts presented to you this morning as we are each and every morning, by DX Racer. So it wasn't just Giant fans like me complaining about what happened to Eli Manning. It was. Listen, anybody around the league. I mean, it wasn't like Carl Banks went nuts on Twitter. Mm-hmm. I'm very emotional about this Eli blank, the guy who gave you everything for better or worse, never missing a game, and this is how it ends. Not for number 10. He deserves better. He gave his all when better wasn't there for him, and this is how it ends. I hurt for him. David Deal, offensive lineman. I'm absolutely speechless. I've watched every game and I've sat through the rough Giants season. This is what you do to a man who has lived this team for 210 straight games. Plaxico Burress, damn. Bench Eli, man showed up every week for 14 years. Brandon Jacobs, Eli Manning, you're always going to be my quarterback. Two-time Super Bowl MVP. You can't make that crap up, bro. Kurt Warner on benching of Eli Manning. Shame on the Giants. London Fletcher, Eli Manning being totally respected by the Giants. Terrell Thomas, I respect Eli more than Geno. No shade, but truth. Sorry, not sorry. He later tweeted, if you're bringing out Wash players to play, he's available. He said that. Sean O'Hara, former center. The ambrosia of emotions right now. Didn't think the Giants season could get any worse. Now this, bunch of emojis. David Carr, this is the quarterback that's not playing. David Carr, they've lost their collective minds. OC Umeniora, Eli deserves much better than that. Much better. Class person, class player, that's absurd. Justin Tuck, I'm honestly at a loss for words. As a person that has seen Eli the quarterback, but also Eli the man, I am truly pissed about what is taking place today. This decision is one of the stupidest I've seen in my time in pro sports. And the last tweet I will read you comes from Marshawn Lynch. The Giants benching Eli Manning for Geno Smith is almost as crazy as not running the ball on the one with a Super Bowl on the line.
Shout out to the kid. I love Marshawn Lynch.
There you go.
Listen, this what they're doing with Eli Manning, and you know how I feel about Eli Manning. Mm-hmm. I legit didn't want to shake the dude's hand when he came in here. I'm not an Eli Manning supporter at all.
But you did.
Yes, I did.
You crumbled under the
This is one of the most egregious things in sports history. Like, this guy, I mean, Eli Manning, you bench Eli Manning for Geno Smith, and then the people that's doing the benching, Jerry Reese and Ben McAdoo, they have no right doing that. They're not going to be here next year. Eli Manning has been a rock for this team. All these games started, Super Bowl MVPs, taking the blame for many things that's going on. You know, even when it wasn't his fault, Eli Manning always stand up guy, talk to the media after every loss, even when things are going bad, season like this season. You saw how he was with him and Tom Coughlin. To do this at this time, I think, is a pitiful display by the New York Giants, really showing that their current leadership has no clue at what they're doing. This is not like the New York Giant franchise. This is a complete embarrassment, and I really, truly do feel bad for Eli Manning.
The Giants, Matt, have always been seen as one of the classier organizations in all of the NFL. In all of sports. And I think over the last couple of years, it's just been, you know, from certainly an on-field perspective where they've missed the playoffs 5 out of 6 years, they've had losing records almost all of those years. It's gone down on the field. And off the field, I think their ref's taken a hit as well. John Mara, how close he's been to Roger Goodell and some of those things aren't a good look. How they handled the Josh Brown situation was an embarrassment by this organization, and yet they've always been given the benefit of the doubt because it's the Giants. It's the Mara family. They do everything right. When it comes to replacing a legend, they got this one wrong. As Corey said, Eli Manning's always been a stand-up guy. He's always just stood there and answered questions politely and never threw anyone under the bus. Ben McAdoo, on multiple occasions over the last 2 years, he threw Eli under the bus every chance he got. Odell Beckham, as you heard Mike Francesa yesterday, Odell Beckham can do anything he wants. And he was a child. As talented as Odell is, he was a child on multiple occasions. Cost his team games, won his team plenty of games. But cost his team games, and Ben McAdoo wouldn't say a word. Eric Flowers is the worst left tackle in the NFL, in NFL history. And he talked him up. But it was always Eli's fault. And Eli never went to the media, never went to the back pages of the media and behind the scenes and cursed out Ben McAdoo as he should have. He was a stand-up guy. And this is how the organization kind of throws him aside. And I think Joel Sherman actually put it right, that A-Rod tried suing the Yankees, was suspended for a season, and he got a legit send-off from this team. Manning won 2 Super Bowl MVPs, was the best quarterback in this franchise's history, and has started 210 consecutive games, and he was benched for Geno Smith.
Listen, was Eli done dirty? Yes, he was. But this is the right move. The wrong people are still in charge with the Giants. The head coach should have been fired. The GM's a dead man walking as well. If we look back at this season, last season, the last 27 games, have the Giants scored 30 points in any of those games?
No.
Eli Manning has not been a good quarterback. He had Odell Beckham last year, so I don't want to hear, you know. And last year, no, the Giants did put up a good season. That was led by the defense. Let's not forget that. I mean, benching him for Geno Smith is not the right move. If you want to start the other kid, Davis Webb, that's fine. Wait till next week or something like that. Don't go to him. And I'm proud of Eli for saying no. Oh, we're going to start you for a half? I mean, come on. That's the Giants were, as you guys mentioned, you know, one of the class organizations in all of sports, football. Kind of like the Cardinal way in baseball. The Cardinals are revered of doing things the right way. The Giants dropped the ball in this. Giants have dropped the ball this whole season. I mean, McAdoo should have been fired. He shouldn't have been allowed on the plane back to New York after that game versus San Francisco.
Yep.
So, look, this has gone totally wrong. But this is the right move for the Giants. The Giants do not want to win any more games this year. You have a chance to go from Eli to a franchise quarterback.
Yep.
Same way with his brother in Indianapolis.
His brother was injured, though, and missed the entire season.
Okay. Yeah, no, he was injured. I don't think Eli's that good. He's not, look, compared, if you look at starters in week 13, it's mind-boggling. Mm-hmm. That's a mind-boggling list of NFL starters.
Yeah, Eli. So I have those lists of starters right in front of me. The starters in week 13 include Geno Smith, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Brett Hundley, Jacoby Brissett, Trevor Siemian, Matt Moore, Josh McCown, Tom Savage, Blaine Gabbert, Mitchell Trubisky, and DeShone Kizer.
So when you look at the situation, obviously, starting quarterbacks is a paramount position, but this is a guy, I understand, and Matt's right, Eli Manning has not been playing good football. Eli Manning only played good football really twice in his whole NFL career, those 2 seasons. He had those tremendous runs. But the fact that he has been there and willing to take this on, he has this streak going, and then you have the audacity to tell him that he can start and they take him out the game in the first half, that shows you the direction that the New York Giants franchise is going 100%. In right now. Because for a professional general manager, a general manager or a head coach to even think that this is something that would possibly work shows that they really have no clue in what they're doing. They're hindering the team. I'm surprised that Mara let this thing go down like this. If I, like I said, Eli Manning did the right thing by telling him, no, you just go ahead and start. So, but do this next year. Don't do this to the dude now, you know what I'm saying, after everything that he's put in. But listen, these people are not loyal. They are not loyal to you 100%. They will show you the door. They will give you your walking papers. But to do this to Eli Manning right now, who's been front and center for this franchise through ups and downs, I think is an absolute disgrace. And then to tell him, we'll let you start to keep this streak going, shows you that you really care nothing about him or the team.
I mean, I'm more annoyed about Geno Smith getting the start. You don't need to see what Geno Smith is. You know what he is. So that just didn't come off right. And look, this season has been a dumpster fire for the Giants. I mean, pretty much, if you look at it on a fantasy-wise, I mean, even if Shepard came back this week, how confident are you to put him in your lineup? Evan Engram, who was once, you know, a ballyhooed rookie tight end, I mean, I don't know what to do with him anymore as well. So just on that, but as you guys said, it's a classless move, but in my opinion, it's the right move.
Why not just let him finish the season?
Why?
It's not like he's going to win a whole bunch of games. Why not? Why? Because you're benching Eli Manning makes it look like you're blaming him for this.
No, I mean, look, I don't think they're blaming Eli for this. I think it's gone past that. Let's see what this kid that we drafted has. We have nothing to gain here. The season is lost. On a PR level, it was terribly done.
Listen, I get it. I completely understand what you're saying. I get it from the NFL talent evaluating perspective.
Can I say one thing real quick? I mean, so if he finishes the season and starts these 4 games, look, there's something to be said about answering the bell week in and week out.
Absolutely.
But, I mean, I really can give 2 craps about Eli's streak. I mean, I hate to say that. Look, you have a right to yourself to see what this kid did. Was he a third-round pick?
Third-round pick, Davis Webb.
You invested a third-round pick in this kid. You want to see him for like 3 or 4 games.
It's not the Jets.
You know, so.
You know, but listen, I get it. I understand it from a talent evaluation perspective. I really, really do. But I think there's certain situations where that doesn't take precedence.
Who's this happened to? Who's this happened to?
I got nothing.
Romo was hurt last year. Mm-hmm. Peyton Manning was hurt.
Yeah.
What big-time quarterback like that that's played and given a franchise this for all these years, who has this been benched like that? You think they would just bench Drew Brees if that team stunk? They would let him finish it out and tell him to go ahead and walk. You think they're just going to bench Tom Brady, finish it out, and walk? But the New York Giants did what Eli Manning was flat-out disgusting. They don't know what the F they're doing.
I agree.
That Reese dude and this McAdoo is the biggest clown in NFL history.
Biggest clown.
He's disgusting. He needs to go to college, high school, something.
You let Eli finish out this year and you let him walk. I completely agree. And I understand the talent evaluation thing of a third round pick. I get it. But there's some situations that just can't be it. You just can't get it. And the Giants don't get it. And that's what's frustrating. Do fantasy owners get it when it comes to Corey Davis? That's what we discuss next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
What's going on, YouTube? I don't know. What the hell is this?
Are we doing shots of tequila?
We're on YouTube. Arriba!
Drink some Greg. Drink some Greg.
What the hell is this? Unbelievable. This is Wall Street Matt Boutica. This is the fantasy executive, Corey Parson.
With no hat on. Hold on.
Well, this is what happens when you walk out on TV, you know. Hello, thank you for joining us this week.
Wait, that was Viva Las Vegas? That was like the worst rendition of Viva Las Vegas.
I got nothing. All right, so we're going to take your Eli Manning calls. Call number 844-843-6879 in just a little bit. But another thing we wanted to get into this morning was Corey Davis. And I sat in that very seat last week, Matt, and I asked, like, when does this crap end with Corey Davis? When does it, the hype stop? And you said, listen, I'm going all in. And we sat here on Thursday morning, Corey, on Thanksgiving, and we gave a lot, Corey Davis over a lot of really good wide receivers. And it was all about Corey Davis, Corey Davis, Corey Davis. The targets are there. The snaps are there. Everything is there except production. We are now entering week 13, the final week before the fantasy playoffs. And all of these barometers, if you will, they're great. All these measurables, fantastic, in fact. But when production isn't there in week 13, I can't live off measurables. I can't live off hype. I need production because I can't handle maybe next week's the week anymore. And ultimately, last week was the golden opportunity. We all said it. We all sat around a table and we put out a decree that if this wasn't it for Corey Davis, it wasn't happening. And I know Corey, that's how you feel. And yet, Matt, here you are, and you're looking at the schedule, and we approach week 13 on Sunday, and you get the best matchup you possibly can, Tennessee at Houston. So the hype train for Corey Davis is out of control. But are you willing right now to put your foot down and be like, I'm done, or are you giving this thing another shot?
I'll never say I'm done on any player. You know, if there's talent, if I go through the process, heading into last week, the process was correct. He had 17 targets in two games. This was the number 5 pick in the draft last year. He missed a lot of time due to a hamstring injury. The fact that Matthews was going to miss the game really improved his stock. You're looking at, you know, target shares. His snaps have gone up. The one thing that's been tough with the Titans to figure out is the percentage of targets and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you're looking at Matthews getting, say, 22%. Davis getting, like, 20, 21%. And now Matthews is out.
Yep.
You're going to think, versus a team that gives up a lot of 20 yards or more in the passing game, you know what? This should be a really good matchup. So, I mean, I think the process going into it was correct. The problem is, for me right now, even after this week, he's no worse than a top 30 wide receiver to me. I'm looking, you know, when I look at the other players, I'm not saying he's a solid number two, but he's has high end number two. But more, I mean, a lower number two, definitely high end number three possibilities. The problem here for me is the quarterback. This does not look like a confident quarterback. He's thrown one touchdown in each of the last three games. If you look at his adjusted yards per attempt, it's been awful. I mean, he got 300 yards versus the Steelers, but, I mean, that was just pitiful. He was just thrown to the other team. Even against the Colts, he did not look good. I don't know if he's still injured, and, you know, maybe that's play. Look, because if you're an athlete and you're not 100%, that does affect you. So, I mean, but this is not the guy we thought we were getting entering the season. So, for me, Delanie Walker is the obvious option in the passing game. Am I going to play Corey Davis? It depends. I'm going to play Josh Doctson over Corey Davis this week. And I hate playing Thursday night games. But, and I'm still worried even about Josh Doctson, because Jamison Crowder has just become a beast. He's just getting all the targets. But I'm going to go back to Corey Davis. To me, he's still a top 30 wide receiver this week.
So you believe Corey Davis still, and you said pretty easily, a top 30 wide receiver this week. We'll hear, you know, we'll read Jake's link. We'll see all the rankings from our guys, including the BFFs, coming up by tomorrow, certainly. So we'll see exactly where they fall. We know for Matt Modica, Corey Davis falls inside the top 30. Corey Parson, fantasy executive. Is Corey Davis someone that, with the playoffs on the line this week in a tasty matchup, despite everything he has not given you over the last 13 weeks, you're willing to throw out there?
If it depends on what my situation is, if I'm willing to throw Corey Davis out there or not. If I have a better option, I will gladly put him in the offense, because Corey Davis is not, once again, going to ruin my fantasy season if I can do anything to prevent that. Because, see, the problem with this situation right here is this. This team, this offense, we overrated this offense coming into the season, much like we did with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So that's why we're in this position now, when we didn't held on to this stiff for 10 damn weeks. You feel what I'm saying? 13 weeks been holding this guy, and he gets, now he's healthy, getting these good matchups. He's not doing nothing. And that's because this football team is not, their offense is not working properly right now, because they need to get rid of damn DeMarco Murray. All they do is feed the ball to DeMarco Murray, feed the ball to DeMarco Murray, feed the ball to DeMarco Murray. Then it's like, well, why is the offense not looking good? Or Corey Davis is not run blocking. Mariota is missing on this, missing on. Stop giving the damn ball to DeMarco Murray for 3 yards in the cloud of dust. It's over. Derrick Henry's a better player. You can run play action better. You can get more situations where Mariota's in a positive environment. That's not happening right now. Another thing, Mariota situation, overrated him. Are we chasing that one stretch that he had last year? Do we think that's what he's going to be all the time? Obviously not, because he's not getting it done right now. So it's the offense, it's DeMarco Murray, it's Marcus Mariota. As far as Corey Davis goes, no, I'm not going to say that he is a must-start, or that he has to go in lineups because he has this matchup, because he could be 5-for-59 again. I'm not doing it. So if I got a better option, he's going out there. We got to figure out what these better options are this week. That's what we kind of got to do. But this offense is not right now. They'll be better when DeMarco Murray is off that team. DeMarco Murray can't even run out the damn shotgun. You feel what I'm saying? How do you set up play action? How do you make the offense more explosive when you got this single set formation that you're running and the dude can't do nothing? And if you're going to play it like that, then let Derrick Henry play. He's a better player right now.
Yeah, I mean, like we said, I mean, the process, when you look at 17 targets, two previous games. Look, he got four targets. He caught all four passes. I think if Matthews isn't playing, they have to get him more involved, especially against Houston, who it's the secondary where you can do the damage on. So I think they're going to have to throw. I agree 100% with Corey on Derrick Henry versus DeMarco Murray. You're looking at a guy that had rushed, what, like 13 times for almost 80 yards or something like that, versus a guy who rushed 12 times for 9 yards. I mean, Murray does not look good. He vultured that touchdown. This offense is, you know, not trending in the right direction.
And you see, we can't make excuses for injury and stuff like that for Davis anymore, though. You know what I'm saying? Because now he's on the field, he's playing, he's getting the snaps. Hell, he's getting the targets. He's not doing nothing with it because the offense is so plain and vanilla. And that's why I'm saying that this guy right here, yikes. You know what I'm saying? I would rather play Rishard Matthews. If Rishard Matthews is healthy this week, I would start Rishard Matthews over Corey Davis.
Well, if Rishard Matthews plays, that Davis does take a hit.
Would you play Matthews over Davis? Matthews plays.
Oh, no, yeah, you have to play Matthews over Davis. I mean, Matthews is his guy. I mean, it's Matthews and Delanie Walker are the, you know, 1A and 1B in the receiving game for this team. But if Matthews is not there, I mean, you have to assume this kid's going to get more involved. I mean, he's had two games where they targeted him 10 times. That's what you want to see.
You asked me for some names here that you could start over Corey Davis, so I'm going to throw some out there for you. I want to get your opinions on it. Marquise Lee, Matt.
I'm playing Marquise Lee. Marquise Lee, you know, he gets... Look, this past weekend was different, but he gets the target share. And, you know, I'm trying to think off the top of my head whose matchup is.
Marquise Lee faces the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah, I mean, Marquise Lee, I love that matchup. The Colts lost another guy in the secondary. Sure. But Lee is kind of like Devin Funchess in the fact where the process has played out. They get 8 to 10 targets basically every week, sometimes a dozen targets. And if you're going to get that much, it should work out for you.
I give you one, Matt.
Ted Ginn, you're going to start.
Yeah, Ted Ginn. You're versus Carolina. Revenge game versus Carolina.
You got to start Ted Ginn over Corey Davis.
Yeah, I start Ted Ginn on him, but that's not the person I was going to mention. I was going to say, what about Randall Cobb versus Tampa?
That's close. I'm going to go Corey Davis. This is dependent upon Matthews not playing.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, let me continue. Would you start Marquise Lee as well?
I would start Marquise Lee.
Would you start D.D. Westbrook?
I'm not starting D.D.
I don't think I can't.
10 targets last week.
I can't go to Westbrook.
Westbrook. I mean, if I had to play Westbrook in a 12-team league, starting three wide receivers with a flex, there's a possibility he could be in my lineup this week. I'm not saying I don't like the matchup. He was the beneficiary of Lee having Peterson on him this week.
Sure, absolutely.
So I think this week, if you own Marquise Lee, you got to be excited about this Week 13 matchup.
You do. I agree. But those 10 targets, and I get it was Patrick Peterson related. I mean, isn't that, could that be a sign of things to come?
No, as I said, I can see scenarios where if I own Westbrook, he could be in my lineup, but I'm still going to put Corey Davis ahead.
Corey Davis, you said you had Josh Doctson over him. Corey Davis or Sammy Watkins?
Yeah, boy, you know how I feel about Sammy. They're just about the same, those two guys right there. Sammy Watkins has the matchup versus the Cardinals. He'll likely draw a PP.
Mm-hmm.
No, I would play Corey Davis over Sammy Watkins.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, if Robert Woods...
They're the same guy.
There's a possibility of Woods coming back this week. When we talked to Dr. A on Monday, he said he needed 2 weeks healing time. For me, I love Sammy. But if he has Peterson on him, I mean, there's Peterson, Rhodes... You know, those are guys that of the elite in the league. So I'd probably go Corey Davis. It's really close though on that one.
Corey Davis or Corey Coleman?
I might lean Coleman, but I mean, what do you expect from the Browns? I mean, the Browns got with Josh Gordon coming back. I don't know what's going on there now, but I'm gonna. The reason I'll go with Coleman here is I've seen Coleman play against Jacksonville and Pittsburgh, and put up
some numbers. Yeah. So. Corey?
I would start Corey Coleman over Corey Davis. I'm seeing him putting up numbers. He's getting to work right now. He's a favorite of Kaiser. Hell, I might start Josh Gordon over Corey Davis.
Would you start Paul Richardson over Corey Davis?
I would not.
Paul Richardson. Who the Seahawks play this week?
Seahawks are against Philly at home, Sunday Night Football.
I wouldn't start Paul Richardson. Okay. I would start Corey Davis over Paul Richardson.
We want to know your Corey Davis thoughts. We want to know your Eli Manning thoughts. Give us a call at 844-843-6879. The Roto Experts continue rolling on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network right after this.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
If thinking about giving DFS a try, Fantasy Factor is the perfect daily fantasy site for the casual recreational player. Flat-out prize pool, smaller field, and single-entry contests only, Fantasy Factor runs NFL and NBA free rolls every week. It's free to enter, so sign up today at www.fantasyfactor.com. I want to get to the phone lines now and talk to you about Eli Manning, talk to you about Corey Davis, and see where you end up. That's 844-843-6879. After calling you a secretary yesterday, Adam from New York joins up first up here on the Road to Westbrook. What's going on, Adam?
Not too much. I need your help today. I didn't call to rile up Corey.
What's up, Adam?
What can we help you with, sir?
All right, so this is kind of a two-part question. So first part is running back. I need you to choose one out of Latavius Murray and DeMarco Murray.
Which Murray? You, which Murray are you going with, Matt?
Oh, does he want my opinion or just Corey's?
I want both.
DeMarco Murray or Latavius Murray? You know what? I've stated the fact that I'm terrified to start him or bench DeMarco Murray. I think, believe it or not, as crazy as this sounds, I would probably go Lat Murray for just the amount of snaps he's been getting each week, the goal line work he's gotten. He's facing Atlanta. I'm going to go with Lat Murray. I can't believe I'm saying that.
This is a tough call right here. This is a very tough one right here, these two players this week. Because you look, DeMarco Murray is going to get his work too, right? DeMarco Murray, I mean, they almost both had the same situation. When you break it down to the matchup, Houston's a little bit more stouter versus the run. Ah, man.
But, Corey, can I ask you a question? Did we see a little bit maybe of the changing of the guard in that game? Like, Henry got 13 rushes to Murray's 12. And he just looked so much better.
They just keep giving DeMarco Murray the ball, though. It's like they're just going to ride with the veteran running back. And that's how I feel like that. What they're doing. I would have to start DeMarco Murray. I hate to say that, but I would have to start DeMarco Murray.
I'll break the tie. I'm going to go with Latavius.
Right.
I think you're right. Derrick Henry just looked better in the same amount of carries. I understand. Like, you're literally hoping just for a touchdown from DeMarco Murray at this point. I think Latavius Murray is giving you a little bit more at this point. So I'm going to go with Latavius. What is the second part of your two-part question?
So now we'll throw Latavius and DeMarco back in there for the ones who didn't select them, and now you choose two between DeMarco / Latavius, Larry Fitzgerald, or Demaryius Thomas.
So this is PPR standard. I'm assuming PPR.
This is half PPR.
Yeah, then I go Lat. Then I get both of them in there.
So who are you leaving out?
With DT and Fitz.
Yeah. Which one? Two out of those three.
Oh, you got to pick. I'm leaving DT out.
You're leaving DT out.
Mm-hmm.
Matt?
I mean, I'll leave DT. I mean, Fitzgerald, I think you have to play him. I mean, he just...
He's not facing Jalen Ramsey anymore.
Yeah, he's not facing Jalen Ramsey this week. I mean, he was totally shut down last week. But, I mean, he's going to get the targets, the receptions. So I would probably go Lat, and if I got to only go two, Lat and Fitz.
Well, you get a third.
Oh, I get a third. Then I would have to throw DeMarco Murray.
Yeah, DeMarco Murray's a third.
Just to get that game on the touchdowns.
Yeah,
that's why I'm scared not to play him.
So you're
not worried about the yardage.
So for both of you guys, it comes down to DeMarco Murray versus Demaryius Thomas. Then
basically, and I start DeMarco Murray over Demaryius Thomas.
All right, there you go. I think I would definitely start Latavius Murray over DeMarco. I guess I go DeMarco over Demaryius, but it's closer for me than I think it is for you guys.
I'm not, look, I honestly do not want to play DeMarco Murray this week.
Right.
I do not want to play him. I
mean, this caller has legit other options.
He does, but it's just the fact that when they get by that goal line, he can run it in, they will throw it to him. He is their touchdown back. I mean, if you watched last week, it's not even close. One guy averaged 6.1 yards. He averaged not even a yard
a
carry.
But their thing is they got to give DeMarco Murray the football.
Yeah,
they feel like that's their win. Like, you know, the situation with him saying when Malarkey criticizing Corey Davis for the blocking, he's like, we're going to be running the football. So you need to block. You need to block all the way through the play. And I'm like, you making this kid block all the way down the field for bum-ass DeMarco Murray? Throw him the football.
844-843.
He can't block. You can't block.
6879. Let's go out to California up early this morning. Let's go talk to Sean. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's up, guys?
What up, Sean?
Hey, I'm a Corey Davis. What's up?
Yeah.
I'm a Corey Davis owner, a frustrated Corey Davis owner. And, I hopped on a little late. Would you start DeSean Jackson or Corey Davis?
There you go.
Pick up Martavis Bryant?
See, now
there's another one for you.
Here is where I'll step in. I mean, DeSean Jackson is playing Green Bay this week.
Yes.
I'm going DeSean Jackson. And one of the things about Corey Davis, like you said, he's a frustrated Corey Davis owner. You're frustrated if you held on to him the whole season because he missed a good portion of the year. But up until this past weekend, you really didn't have there wasn't an urgency to start him. This weekend, the stars aligned. Matthews was out. The versus Indianapolis.
His best opportunity.
Yeah. So, but, I mean, for me, you got to go with D-Jax here.
Does it matter who the quarterback is in Tampa Bay?
I mean, look, D-Jax he's been consistent. He hasn't had that blow-up game that we're used to, those 20-plus points. But he's been more consistent this year. I'm rolling out D-Jax.
Yeah, I'm starting DeSean Jackson also over Corey Davis.
I'm also going with DeSean Jackson over Corey Davis. That one wasn't as hard for me. Let's continue on. Let's go to Brandon from Louisiana. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
We're doing great, man.
Yeah, I'm a Corey Davis owner as well, but I'm cool with it.
You're cool with it?
I mean, he's on my bench. He's on my bench. So it's good. Okay. I've got starters. Like, I mean, yeah, I'm good. Like, I actually just got I picked up Sammy Watkins and Martavis Bryant. I know it sounds crazy, but
yeah, it does.
I have a starting lineup, and they both have really good 15 and 16 weeks. Like, they both have a really good 15 and 16, and I already got the bye. So, but I wanted to ask y'all what you thought about Matt Breida. Since Garoppolo is going to start,
why is Matt Breida on your team? You must not be going to the playoffs, Brian.
No, I got the bye.
Okay,
no,
okay, you got the bye. Okay,
I don't have Matt Breida. He's a free agent.
I think Carlos Hyde's more entrenched right now than ever because you have a rookie quarterback and you want a
pass
veteran
protection.
Back there.
Sure.
You know, and this guy just got what 13 targets. He's got 50 catches on the year. I mean, look, we heard all this fake news about on Carlos Hyde from even before
the draft,
preseason
from the
started.
Damn draft.
You know, pounding on tables. Yeah. Matt Brady is an equal talent.
Yeah.
Come on now. No, I think, if anything, Jimmy G coming into the starting position just solidifies
what Hyde need to be there. Hey, Brandon, I'm trying to, this team that's got this bye. You picking up Watkins and you picking up Martavis Bryant. These dudes is in your starting lineup?
No, they're just flyers. I mean, Robert Woods is out. Say Watkins actually does something good while Woods is out. Maybe he earns a spot.
Okay.
Martavis Bryant.
I like it.
Fit in with the offense. They're both winning teams too. I'm trying to go with that. I'm trying to focus on the winning teams. I guess. Like I want to have players from winning teams. I don't want to have Marlon Mack. I don't really want to have Matt Breida, but I was thinking maybe he can. Maybe
Brandon, let me ask you this: how long have you been holding on? Did you draft Corey Davis and been holding on to him this long, or did you scoop him up off the waiver wire at some point?
Oh no, y'all convinced. I mean, y'all got me into Corey Davis.
So you drafted him and held on?
No. I started listening probably about like week 3 or 4,
and then you scooped him up.
I picked him up. Yeah.
He's invested in him. Brandon's invested in him, but he's still like not. I'm invested in him, and my feelings are hurt. Why are your feelings not hurt? Because it's going to be okay.
Mariota.
He's doing it right.
It's Mariota though.
Yeah, no, I agree with it. He's doing it right. He's got Corey Davis on his bench, like he said. He's not starting him. He's got a bye. He's picking up Sammy Watkins. He's picking up Martavis Bryant. They're his bench players. I mean, that's a nice bench to have in the playoffs. If somebody goes down and say Watkins has a good matchup and stuff, he's doing, in my opinion, he's doing it the right way.
Doing his due diligence, you're saying. 844-843-6879. 844-843-6879. Let's go to Kenny in Philly. What's up, Kenny?
Kenny,
what's popping?
Hey, man. I asked y'all before the season started about this damn Tennessee Titans team. I asked, how did y'all think all this production was going to come from with that non-advanced offense? That offense sucks.
See, Kenny, you can't say that. The offense was rolling towards the end of this time last year when Mariota was on that streak. The offense was rolling. You look at the pieces they got in this offense, the exotic smash mouth,
the
two running backs, the tight end. Everybody loved Mariota. They bring in Corey Davis, a top five pick. Why would this? No, you can't say that you knew this offense was going
to
play like this.
Listen to me, dude. Oh, I agree. They got the pieces, but the offense sucks. Maybe it's the OC. I don't know. But I got two quick questions for you.
All right.
I need to share one in both of these questions. Both from a PPR. DeMarco Murray, Kareem Hunt, Mixon, or Duke Johnson. I need to sit one.
Kareem. Hold on.
Flying by.
Relax. Can you say those players again, please, sir?
DeMarco Murray, Kareem Hunt, Mixon, or Duke Johnson. I need to sit one.
You need to sit one.
You know what's crazy? I mean, I kind of want to sit Murray, but I think the guy you might want to sit, he's coming off his best game of the year, is Mixon. Just for the fact, and hear me out, hear me why. This is what the Steelers are allowing the least amount of plays for an offense. The Bengals, if they don't run enough plays, they don't have a good offensive line. Facing the Steelers front, I know, look, Jamal Williams, what he did last week, but it was pretty much on a on a great play on a man-to-man coverage, and he outran the defense. Otherwise, he was pretty much 3 yards carry. So, I mean, it's between Murray and Mixon for me.
What's your what is your other question?
I would want to sit Murray here. It's crazy.
What's your other question, Kenny?
Kareem Hunt, Eckler, or Henry sit one. Can you guys touch on the Seals Jr. guy, the tight end for Arizona? I know you probably
are. We'll talk about Ricky Seals Jr. in a moment. For that one, that's kind of easy for me. I'm benching Austin Eckler.
Yeah, I mean, look, Henry's looking, Henry might. It's not that easy, but if you got to bench one, but Kareem Hunt's the obvious stop.
Right, Corey?
Yeah, I'll mention Austin there.
We'll take the break. We'll talk about Ricky Seals Jr. when we come back.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
We're back with you, Roto Experts Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And we taking your calls, of course, throughout the program at 844-843-6879. Ricky Seals Jones, Matt, you and I mentioned it before we went live on the air. Both of us picked him up. And both of us starting this week.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what Kenny's options are besides Ricky Seals-Jones. But real quick, just going back to that last question about Hunt, Eckler, and Henry. I think I'm going to change my... I think I'm going to start Eckler versus the Browns.
Really?
And the reason why is he's getting enough... He's involved enough. And as Frank Stanfield pointed out on the... The Browns have not been as stout versus the run anymore. They were very good for a while, but they've been getting shredded of late. So this game, in my opinion, can get ugly, and I can see Eckler getting more. I mean, I think Henry's the much better talent, but I don't know. I don't know what they're going to do.
You would start Eckler over Hunt?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so. I could see that now. I think like a lot of the Eckler guys are like, listen, you're getting lucky with the production, I think, because you could end up getting a donut at any moment. But the kid is involved in the offense. You know, obviously, I watched the entire game that they played on Thanksgiving. And when he gets the football, he does explosive things. So, yeah, I can see it. I can definitely. I would start him over. I would start Eckler over Henry.
I wouldn't start Eckler over Henry. We just kind of went off about how Henry looks better than Murray. He's getting his touches.
He's not getting the work,
but,
though.
You know, but what he's.
He is getting the work. What are you talking about? He is getting the work.
Yeah, but
they just don't, they seem to really be stuck on Murray. I mean, if they are stuck on Murray. If Murray has a good first half, do we even see Henry? That's my question.
But can't the same thing be said about Austin Eckler?
It can, but
It wasn't just a week ago that he had zero touches in that first half where they blew out Buffalo. It was all Melvin Gordon.
It's very close here. This is not like an easy decision.
I thought it was easy for me.
You know how many receptions Austin Eckler has?
No idea.
24.
Okay.
He gets at least 4 targets in the passing game every week. And he is, you know, he has the ability to catch one of these passes and break it and take it to the crib. Austin Eckler, as crazy as it may sound, you can start Gordon and Eckler. I wouldn't start him in the same lineup like Kamara and Ingram. But, yeah, the Eckler production, listen, 2 weeks ago I was like, you're going to end up getting a donut one day fooling around with it. But you know what? He's a part of the offense.
And what if, I mean, what if
he's fantasy Chargers, friendly.
What if the Chargers get out to a big lead and say, you know what, we got this game. Let's get Eckler more involved. I mean, it's close. I mean, Henry looks good. But Henry, you know, this has been the same thing. It's week 13. And we're pretty much in the same position.
Yeah, exactly. It's been no growth with Henry. It's nothing. It's the same thing since the beginning of the season. Just like it is with Corey Davis. The same thing since the beginning of the damn season. Nothing.
It's a different thing for Ricky Seals-Jones, which is the big one of the big waiver wire pickups this week. Would you start Ricky Seals-Jones this week, Corey?
He's exciting. He's getting it done. This Arians, use of the tight end is very risky. But I can see it, though.
Corey's right that it's risky, but It's the. I'll go back to what I said yesterday on the show. It's the third string quarterback who seems to have a rapport with this guy. So
they had 73 offensive snaps last week. You know how many Seals was in on? 17 of them.
But he's got the production the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's in there for those 17 snaps. But like I said, who are your other options?
That's true too.
He's not a slam dunk. I mean, there's many guys I'm going to have.
The week before when he had the two touchdowns versus Houston, they had 58 offensive plays that week. He was in for 8 of them.
Oh my God!
There you go. You see what I'm saying? You can't, if you're not on the field, you can't score fantasy points.
All right, so here's my options, right? Like here are my other options. Greg Olsen, if he plays.
I can't trust Greg Olsen.
Greg Olsen's going to lead the game.
He might be out for more plays.
I know.
Ben Watson.
I'm not fooling Ben Watson.
Mercedes Lewis.
Nope.
Ed Dixon, if Olsen doesn't play.
I think I would go Ed Dixon. Easy Ed.
I'll go with the guy that's at least getting red zone. If you get a touchdown, you win, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
So,
Eric Ebron.
Ooh, E-Double got a nice matchup this week.
He does.
Baltimore's a nice matchup.
Yeah, Baltimore's a nice matchup. Baltimore can't guard a tight end.
Which it's crazy to say.
Jesse James.
Mm-mm.
There you go. Those are the options. Disaster.
The legend continues.
Indeed it does.
The legend of Ricky Seals.
We'll take a break. We'll talk about Crabtree's reduced suspension next.